Letters, where Uncle Screwtape is writing to his nephew Wormwood. And these are devils or demons, those who are of Satan himself. It's a great book if you have the opportunity to pick it up. It's a fun read and very insightful at the same time. But Uncle Screwtape writes to Wormwood with these words: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." When Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," he is reminding us of our constant battle against evil and encouraging us to fight in that battle regularly. There are a couple things to know first about the spiritual warfare which is happening around us. You are aware of the spiritual battle, aren't you? I hope so, because if we are caught unaware, then we can't be fighting that battle. The first thing to know about this battle and that we need to understand is that temptations are real. Jesus would not have encouraged us to pray, deliver us from evil or lead us not to temptation, unless temptation was a reality in the world in which we live. Jesus is very practical at the end of the day. And so he reminds the disciples as he's teaching them, and he reminds every disciple henceforth that sin and temptation are certainly at the door. You heard Kathy read for us the story of the birth of Cain and Abel. And in that story, at the verse 7b, the concluding sentence which Kathy read, God says to Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now, when we talk about sin, we pray this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." We might be confused to ascribe to God the ability to lead us into temptation. But the reality is that God does not lead us into temptation. James actually says, "God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." The Pope, not long ago, changed the Lord's Prayer. Shocking, I know, but he was getting at this reality that God doesn't lead us into temptation, that temptation is near, it's crouched there before us, it's ready to rule, it desires to have us, but we must rule over it. Do you know what happened in the verses following what Kathy read for us in Genesis? Do you know the whole story of Cain and Abel? After God gives this warning to Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door, it desires to have you, but you must rule over it," what does Cain do? He offs him. Yes, thank you. That's the spiritual word, which means to kill. Offs, yeah. So we're learning something new every day. Yeah, Cain falls into temptation. That sin that was crouching at Cain's door, that sin that was waiting and desiring him, Cain falls into that sin, though he's warned by God, and did not heed God's warning. Cain gave into temptation and killed his brother. So knowing about temptation isn't enough. But we also must know that we cannot resist temptation alone. Jesus says, "Lead us not into temptation," and what's our prayer, our petition? What's our request of God? deliver us from evil. This is acknowledging that we can't fight this war alone, this spiritual battle around us. We must have God's help. Yesterday morning, I woke up, and as I was laying in bed, I could just kind of feel the heaviness of the day. It was a Memorial Day. It was a day that I gathered with Larry Corning's family and put Larry in the ground, memorialized him here, and I just felt this heaviness come upon me. I got up and started to do some work around the house, came over here, and that heaviness kept getting stronger. It was like my shoulders just felt this weight upon them. And then I started to think things about myself, like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to pastor this family through this hard time. I wasn't there enough for my friend Larry. I'm not a good enough father. I'm not a good enough student. I'm not a good enough husband. Have you ever had those feelings and the weight just seems to push you down and push you down? Jeanette met me here at 12:30 and we drove over to Sunset Memorial Gardens, and on the way over I told her how I was feeling. And she said, "Steve, this is spiritual warfare." She said, "What are you preaching about tomorrow?" I said, "I'm preaching about spiritual warfare." Surprise! And so right then in that moment as we're driving, and this is a testament to the beauty of my wife that's inside as well as out, she prayed for me, put her hand on my shoulder and prayed that God would release me from this temptation. You see, we can't fight the evil one by ourselves. Jesus acknowledges our dependence on God, and without God's help, we are helpless. There's a fun little story in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. Paul is preaching through Asia Minor. That's kind of the area where modern-day Turkey is. And then he's on the coast at Ephesus, and there's some young men who have heard of Jesus and seen Paul's work. They're the sons of Sceva. Now, Sceva is a Jewish religious leader, a rabbi, and a teacher. And there are seven sons, and these seven sons go out, and they decide to battle against the evil in the world, the devil, and the demons. Maybe some of you remember this story. But they go out and they find this guy who's possessed by a demon. And they say, "In the name of Jesus, you are cast out." Well, the demon's having nothing to do with it. The demon that's who's in this man replies to the seven brothers. After they say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." The demon says to them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" You can almost hear the brothers say, "Rut-row." Can you hear them? Uh-oh. Jesus, the demon knows. Paul, the demon has heard about. But these seven sons of Sceva, nothing doing. Do you know how the story ends? It's kind of comical. You don't think the Bible's funny at times? Well, it is. It ends this way. The man who had the evil spirit gave the seven brothers such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Roops. You see, we can't and we don't dare take on spiritual warfare by ourselves. So we have to know that this war is being waged and battled around us. And we have to know and understand that we can't fight this spiritual battle alone. It has to be by the power and the Spirit of God. So what do we do to fight this battle regularly? I would say even daily. That the Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. Not only do we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, but we also pray, in this day, lead us not into temptation, and in this day, deliver us from evil. I would suggest to you that it is prayer, and specifically praying with God's word, that helps us to fight this battle. Our first prayer is that we would pray that God makes us sensitive to temptation. Sensitive to temptation. Yesterday, I was not sensitive to temptation. I had my blinders on. I was just kind of cruising through life. I wasn't paying any attention. And as that sin and temptation kept being heaped on me, I succumbed to that temptation, starting to believe what the evil one was telling me. Matthew says when this happens, it would be better for us to be sensitive, aware of that temptation, that we would put it off. Matthew said in our gospel reading, it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. This is a reminder to be sensitive to temptation. If it is our eye that's causing us to sin, we want to be aware of that. If it's our hand that steals, that leads us into sin, we want to be aware of how our body is responding and reacting. And in this very difficult text in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, be aware, be sensitive, that you might remove those things. Now, is Jesus saying that we would literally remove our eyes or our hands? I don't think so. But if we're aware, if we're sensitive of what our eyes are perceiving and our mind is then working in its cognitive way, or what our hands and feet or any other part of us is doing, then we ought to be praying that God removes that temptation from us. A sensitivity to sin helps us do what is necessary to keep ourselves from falling into it. Sometimes you just need to say, this isn't going to be good for me, and give it up. Let me say that again. I think it's important. Sometimes you just need to say, this isn't going to be good for me, and give it up. When I was in my first semester at Cal State Long Beach, you know, Jeanette and I are sending our oldest son, Ezekiel, to Eastern in the fall. So I kind of remember my first semester, and I joined a fraternity, Sigma Chi fraternity at Long Beach State. And that fraternity, I would like to say, led me into sin. But it was really not the fraternity itself, right? It was this war, this battle, the evil one, Satan, that led me into sin. I got about 3/4 of the way through that semester, and I paused to take a look at my life and evaluate, and I thought to myself, this isn't good for me, and I need to give it up. And so I quit. Hard thing to do. I enjoyed the friendships and relationships that I'd made in that first semester, but I knew that if I stayed in that fraternity, it wouldn't go good for me. And so we pray that God makes us sensitive to the things that are around us that tempt us. Number two, we pray that God makes us resistant to temptation. In 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The encouragement here is that we pray that we would stand firm, that we would stand firm in our faith. And we don't do this individually. Did you pick up on the corporateness of this encouragement of Peter? Peter said, with the family of believers throughout the world who is going through the same kind of sufferings as we are. So we stand firm, we stand in faith, and we stand together, not alone. Do you ever think about how many other people are going to worship this day, or maybe who have already worshiped this day along with us? It's a great gift to remember the millions of Christians around the world who fight this same battle alongside of us. I have a friend in my postgraduate cohort. She's from Auckland, New Zealand, or just outside of it. We were all together last week down at Cannon Beach, and she had these little bracelets made. They say Kia Kaha. So the Maori tribe, one of the tribes down in New Zealand, this is one of their sayings. And it means to stay strong, stand firm, and tend the fire. So as we're concluding our coursework and entering into a year of dissertation writing, each of us, which is quite a task, by the way, she gave us these to remind us that we are to stay firm, stand firm, to stay strong, and to tend the fire. We pray as our prayer, as we fight this spiritual battle that's being waged around us, that we too would stay strong, stand firm, and tend the fire. And so we pray that God makes us sensitive to temptation. We pray that God makes us resistant to temptation. And lastly, we pray that God makes us submissive to Him. James chapter 4. James says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's a formula, actually. It's supposed to go in order. We surrender or we submit to God. We can't resist the devil without God's help. So we can't resist the devil unless we first surrender to God. We submit before Him. And so James reminds us, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil then, and he will flee from you. Submission means surrendering your whole life to the Lord, holding nothing back. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John the apostle, the one whom God loved, the one who also wrote the Gospel of John, says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Who's he talking about? Who's the one who is in us? Ask any Sunday school kid, who's in your heart? And who are they going to say? Jesus. And so that one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world, the ruler of the world. And who's that? Satan. So as we surrender to God, as His sons and daughters, we have already overcome them. You are God's own possession. He's not going to leave you out there alone as the lion seeks to devour you. God has already conquered the one in this world, and so we live free and surrendered. Christian friends, we would be leaving you unaware, unprepared, not ready to fight the battle that is around us. If Pastor Corey and I did not teach you that we are in a war that's cosmic and transcends generations, there is a real enemy. His name is Satan. But there is a real and powerful God. His name is Yahweh, and He has already won the battle for us. So stay strong, stand firm, and tend the fire. Amen. Please